This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Come for another podcast, have you? We're ready when you are. Joy.
It is indeed World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. And a big thank you there to our drive time duo of Alex and Adam, and also Mark there for the news. Now, tonight in the studio, you've got Dean, Paul and myself, Matt. Hi, guys.
Hello, how are you going?
Excellent. And we're talking work stuff tonight. For some people, choosing a new job, finding a workplace where you can feel comfortable is just as important as the salary. But for others, it's a line that they dare not cross. What stops people who are out in their social circles from being out at work? What do the most LGBT-friendly workplaces have in common? And how is workplace acceptance driving changes in broader community tolerance of LGBT people in some countries around the world? Now, we are going to speak tonight with... we spoke with them from the UK, Darren Cooper from MyG Work. They're a UK-based online business network and recruitment firm, particularly for LGBT people. And you've got lots of chances to interact with us tonight. You can call, send us an SMS 0427 joy949, email us on air at joy.org.au, and Gordon is with us on the front desk on 1300 joy949.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Now we're kicking off Worldwide Wrap in Russia. Vladimir Putin has called Sir Elton John and offered to meet him after, you would probably recall in the media, that there was a prank call made and Elton, dear old Elton, thought he was talking with Vladimir and it wasn't. It was a Russian late-night television show and they all went, ho, 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 and had
That's
a shot of
right.
vodka.
Yeah, it was a couple of pranksters who are apparently very well-known in Russia.
Pranksters. And apparently Vladimir called Elton and said, I'm very, very sorry for these pranksters.
Yeah, he's tried
they,
to
They will be
over.
Taught a lesson. Sent to Siberia, maybe. now, the recorded prank call aired on the popular late-night TV show. And so, as a result, Elton and Vladimir had a little chat lasting about 10 minutes. And Elton said it would be a dream come true to meet with Vladimir Putin and discuss the issues of LGBT rights. I shouldn't just stop there. That would be a very awkward pause. In fact, Vladimir might feel a little bit threatened by that. Now,
that was actually the prank call, not the real call.
Oh, that was the prank one.
That was the prank one, yes.
It's so hard to keep up. Vladimir Putin actually was on 60 Minutes in America and stated that LGBT people in Russia are fully equal and live normal lives and face no discrimination or persecution, which is slightly different to any number of media reports and even interviews we've conducted here.
Yes, he went on to say that the problems with sexual minorities in Russia, well, apparently we're a sexual minority, was that it had been deliberately exaggerated by outside political parties.
It's the West, is it?
It's all our fault.
Look, we would be interested, though, to hear from you. Now, what would you say to Vladimir Putin if you were given the opportunity to send him an SMS or take that phone call instead of Elton because he's off doing a concert somewhere?
Put your shirt back on, Vladimir.
Put that bear down.
drop the bear. That's right. That's probably is illegal even in Russia. I'd say something like, at gay dance parties, all the guys take their shirts off. Vladimir, you take your shirt off all the time. I'm just saying, there might be a connection.
You're not 2 and 2 getting 5 again.
Never know. So send us a message. What would you say to dear old Vladimir? 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Over in Canada, the Toronto Tourist Transit Commission has removed offending ads from Squirt. Now, people may know that Squirt is a cruising website. And apparently they have been advertising in and around Wesley Station, which is in the gay,
Central.
Yeah. Since 10th of June. And they recently extended the advertising onto the subway trains. The ads, apparently, according to TTC, was taken down because it was promoting sex in a public place, which is against the law.
So they weren't saying the ad was bad as such.
No, it just showed shirtless men in embracing them. Where could that be a bad thing, apart from Russia?
So if it's against the law, how's the website allowed to continue on?
The website is, it's just promoting
sex. Just not allowed to promote it.
You're not allowed to promote it. And in fact, they run ads in the UK, the Netherlands, here and in New Zealand, and they never had a problem.
Those Canadians, they might have gay marriage, but they won't have our adverts, I tell you. Across to Germany, another same-sex marriage bill has been approved by the Germany's Bundesrat, which is their upper house. But sadly, it is likely to fail because Angela Merkel controls the lower house.
Because she's a big meanie.
She's a big meanie.
For her, marriage is going to be always with a man and a woman living together.
Now, where have we heard that before? And where have we heard the upper house pushing for change and the lower house rejecting?
I don't know. Somewhere else beginning... Another country that begins with A.
Austria?
Austria?
Seem to recall it being said by someone with very strong onion breath, but I can't quite recall who that might be.
Now, Angela Merkel's party holds... It's a 631 seats in the lower house in total, and her coalition holds 503. So it's not like she's scraping for,
And the German system has two chambers, such as we do, and the UK has. But they don't control the upper one, which is the Bundestag, where that is likely to get through, but not through the lower house.
And interestingly, the Social Democrats are one of the parties pushing for the change in the upper house, but they're in Angela Merkel's coalition in the lower house. So they're kind of playing both sides of the fence there, I'm thinking.
Over in Saudi Arabia, or it's actually in the UN, but it relates to Saudi Arabia, the Saudi UN ambassador has been appointed the chair of a human rights panel. laugh.
This has caused international outrage.
I can't think why.
Slightly more than just laughter has been heard.
It's been described as scandalous by many NGOs, non-government organisations.
That a country that has beheaded more people this year than ISIS is the head of a key human rights panel.
And that came from the UN Watch executive.
Even the Vatican's spoken out against this one, so you know it's pretty...
And are they fond of LGBTI rights? No, that's one of the issues there. They want them struck from the record.
Indeed.
It puts them on a par with the Vatican because they both expressed concern about the references to sexual rights, including protection for LGBT right people.
Now, just in brief, across in Russia, some more issues there where Apple is under investigation and could face fines for violating the gay propaganda laws over some of their emojis.
Which apparently show male and male with children and female with children.
Escandalo! So after 25 years, the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission have changed their name to Outright Action International.
And over in the US, it may have only taken 27 seasons, but Smithers has finally come out and made clear his feelings for Mr. Burns.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
It's Britney Bitch here on World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the world one country at a time.
I don't think it's nice to call people names.
Poor Britney. I thought that was her official surname.
Pretty much. That's Britney Spears, of course, you know that.
Now, that's about work.
It is work, bitch, because we're not so much covering a country this week as we're covering a theme, which is being gay at work.
And the goods and the bads and all that. We've had a message in from 317. Thank you. Concern for chaplaincy for gay and lesbian students in the press recently. Tim Wilson has moved forward in his ideology and human rights agenda, perhaps? So this issue, Tim Wilson has spoken out against the New South Wales state government on the issue of chaplaincy and saying that having chaplains in schools has a detrimental effect on LGBT students. I wonder if that's a step ahead or if he's just got a new political master and has broadened his appeal, perhaps?
Sniffed the wind, perhaps.
Dare I say.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Now, we're looking at workplace issues around the world to do with being gay and out. Now, most countries and states do not provide legal protections for LGBT employees. In fact, only 61 countries prohibit discrimination in employment because of sexual orientation.
We are one of them, though, aren't we?
We are one of them. We are indeed.
My God, what?
Progress. In the USA, there's no federal law protecting LGBT rights, but in fact, many of the states, 29 out of the 50 states, do not have laws as well.
Across in Europe, 47% of LGBT people felt they'd experienced discrimination or harassment because of their sexual orientation at work. In France, it was 41%, and in Germany, 46%.
Higher in Germany, which is interesting. And 20% of lesbian, gay and bisexual people felt they experienced discrimination at work or job hunting simply because of their sexual orientation.
But today, more Fortune 500 companies offer benefits to their LGBT employees. So as of April 2013, 88% of these Fortune 500 companies have non-discrimination policies that include sexual orientation. So other benefits include 91% include protection for sexual orientation, 61% include gender identity protection, 67% include domestic partner health benefits.
But only 28% include transgender health inclusive benefits.
There's obviously a long way to go.
Long way to go indeed. Nearly two-thirds of lesbian and gay jokes heard at work are... Sorry, nearly two-thirds of the jokes heard at work are lesbian or gay. 43% bisexual.
Which is the factor why a lot of LGBT employees are still in the closet. So 31% fear losing connections with co-workers if they come out, and 23 fear that they might not be offered a development or advancement if they come out.
And more than half of LGBT workers, 53%, hide their sexual orientation in their workplace. And we're going to dissect that issue tonight.
Of course, one of the problems is there's a big brain drain as a result. So all these talented LGBTI people, most of them our listeners, are currently, you know...
Are very intelligent listeners.
They are intelligent, erudite, stunningly attractive, constantly poring over the job sites to try and find new employment where they can be made to feel more welcome.
And that's why they're listening, is because they're so intelligent and we give them some interesting fodder for their minds.
Now, the top reasons for not being open, and this came out of the USA, 64% said because it's nobody else's business. However, the statistical analysis underneath that reveals a very high correlation between people who respond in that way, it's nobody's business, and harassment at work. So the idea of not being open at work actually increases or has a high correlation with experiences of harassment at work.
So having a welcoming atmosphere is very important as to whether or not you're out or not at work.
That's interesting because 38% of that survey said they weren't out because they didn't want to make people feel uncomfortable.
How kind.
Now, from a survey just this year in Australia, gay men are much more likely than straight men to work part-time and less likely to work full-time. Gay men also have higher unemployment rates in Australia.
Gay women are more likely than straight women to work full-time. and the rates of unemployment are slightly higher for gay women than for straight women.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
And another message in on 0427-JOY-949 from Anonymous 659. Thanks for messaging in. If the winds are changing for the better, the carcass is still lingering in the air, isn't it, when you're a captain's call pick? Ooh.
So poetic. Ooh. Well, we did talk about our intelligent listeners just a moment ago.
It's interesting with Tim Wilson being openly gay as well, and a really, really divisive figure in the gay community here. Really divisive. It's quite remarkable. We are talking all things workplace related tonight, and we spoke with Darren Cooper from an organisation, a website called MyGWork. It's a UK-based online business network and recruitment firm specifically for LGBT people. And in fact, a lack of acceptance of LGBT people in the workplace led two brothers to go into business and create this site, endeavouring to make businesses more LGBT friendly. Darren Cooper, he's the business development manager of MyGWork, and we asked him to tell us how the story of MyGWork began.
MyGWork was actually started by two brothers. They're twins called Adrian and Pierre, and they're both French, and they actually both had rather negative experiences when they came out of work in different places, but around the same time. And I think, you know, they're in their sort of mid-20s, so I think their sort of generation, they were kind of quite shocked about the reaction that they got. And so one of them was working for a software company in Spain, and the other one was working for the French government, but based in China. And they felt that they were kind of ostracized by their colleagues, and, you know, the experience they had when they came out to their colleagues was really quite negative. So they decided to start MyGWork, and MyGWork does several things. It enables companies to showcase the LGBT diversity policies and initiatives that they have in place and through their company profiles. But it also allows individuals to have a profile on the website. And so there's a lot of networking and sort of peer-to-peer information sharing that goes on the site as well.
Now, diversity and inclusion in some organisations are buzzwords. They're a policy on the wall, but the actions don't necessarily follow. What makes a good company for LGBT employees?
Well, I think definitely you have to have senior level support and buy-in. So having someone at board level or a very senior person who's sort of championing diversity in the workplace is really important. And this creates sort of visibility, and it's all about credibility and authenticity. I think you're right about diversity and equality being a buzzwords at the moment, and they're sort of trending topics. And people seem to think that these are sort of emotive issues. But research has shown that a more diverse workforce helps with innovation, helps with improved sort of leadership, teamworking, and engagement as well. So it's not just an emotive issue. And companies that really get the equality agenda know that it's not just good for their staff, but it's good for their bottom line as well.
Who would you say is actually setting the gold standard in this area? Are there particular companies that are standouts?
Yeah, there certainly are, and there's certainly different industries as well which seem to be leading the way. The technology industry, so Google is a really prime example, and also Microsoft as well. I think Google probably has a more sort of a user-friendly sort of consumer brand, but they're certainly doing some really good stuff. And, you know, the technology space in general is something where they're really trying to focus on increasing diversity in the workplace, not just with regards to sexual orientation, but gender as well. Obviously, there's, you know, a few problems with gender in certain areas of the tech industries. And then also the financial industries as well. We're seeing some really great work from companies like Barclays, HSBC, all of the big banks, actually. They've really got great visibility with the diversity initiatives that they're doing as well. So they're effectively communicating what they're doing internally, externally as well, and I think that's really helping them. And then also there's quite a lot of law firms as well which are really trying to increase their diversity in all strands, but particularly sexual orientation as well.
Bonjour, c'est Tina René. Vous écoutez La Joie 94.9, darling.
We know you love listening to Joy, and this podcast is thanks to Joy sponsor Audible. Keep listening to hear our exclusive Joy offer. audible.com.au/joy.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
We were happy to speak to Otto. He was wonderful. Another message in from 317. It's generational. Gen Y are different to Gen X in my experience. They've been exposed to discrimination in a conservative era, whilst younger generations haven't had to fight for equality. They're complacent, so they don't need to play identity politics. Wow. I don't think
some of the people in Joy would actually agree with that.
I want to hear from some Gen Ys here. Are you complacent? Are you just kicking back? They also said, love your show. We love you too.
Mm. Gen Ys are too lazy to text us. That's it. No SMS.
Actually, I think Gen Y, that's all they can do is text us. That should generate some text. Tonight, we are talking all things workplace. We've been speaking with Darren Cooper from My G Work in the UK.
Some of the list of companies that Darren mentioned in the first part as leading the delivery of workplace equality are all large multinational companies. So we asked Darren if small businesses could still get behind workplace equality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. These companies have a lot of resources, and they've allocated resources in this direction because they know the business case has now been proven for equality and diversity in the workplace. But that's another reason why My G Work was set up, was to help smaller companies advertise their job vacancies to the LGBT community, and also really just have a presence and a visibility within this space. The benefits for small companies of diversity and inclusion in the workplace are the same as large companies, and it's now much easier for companies to have visibility with the LGBT community because of websites like My G Work.
Are you really mainly looking at Western countries? Are there cultural differences or cultural challenges that you're noticing in countries that you're working in?
We started in the UK, but being online, we have a reach globally. But there definitely is a difference in different countries about how sort of well advanced they are with equality. We've actually done quite a few interviews with people who, just so they can share their stories. So if there's anybody out there who would like to share their story about being out in the workplace, they should definitely get in touch with us at My G Work. And I think those individual stories are quite interesting because there's lots of statistics about, you know, about harassment for LGBT people in the workplace, or they fear that their careers might not progress as fast if they come out. And actually having those personal stories, it just really drives home the point, really. It's much easier to relate to an individual story, especially when you have data which backs up what they're saying as well.
There are some countries where homosexuality is less accepted, but it's actually been the business community that's been waving the flag a bit and proposing changes. And I'm thinking there of China, Singapore, Vietnam, where some of the big multinational companies you've mentioned have spoken up in support of equality to try and drive change. Is that something that you have been noticing there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of these big companies, they have a global HR policy. So trying to translate that into all of the territories and countries that they work in is a real challenge, especially for the larger companies. And so they want to treat all of their staff as equally and fairly in countries all across the world where they operate. And so larger companies and corporations have definitely played their part in driving forward the equality agenda for LGBT people. And that's helping to create visibility for the communities. I mean, you mentioned some of the Asian countries there. And I think the pace of change there is happening very quickly. And that's driven by lots of different factors, cultural change, political change. I think the mood of the public, I think you know in Australia as well, the mood of the public is often ahead of politicians. And companies also need to sort of gauge the reaction of the public and sort of surf that wave of where equality is going, really. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think there's a lot of change going on. And I think companies, they really are waving that sort of rainbow flag, and they're saying, we are standing up for equality, and they want to have visibility within this community.
Your comments there are quite significant and quite interesting to us, where same-sex marriage is a very big debate here at the moment, and a lot of companies are taking out ads in papers in support, but our government is yet to move. So it is interesting to hear your thoughts from the other side of the world.
Yeah, well, obviously we hear this on the news as well. We were lucky enough to have marriage equality here, and things moved slowly. I think the public was probably ready for marriage equality here before we actually got the laws in place. I'm sure it will come into Australia soon. You know, we know that there's a lot of pressure coming from lots of different areas, which is fantastic. We saw the same thing in the US as well, just before marriage equality there. Lots of different companies taking ads in support of the LGBT community. And there was all sorts of pushback from groups like A Million Mums, although I think that's probably more like 10,000 or 5,000 mums. But pressure groups like that, you know, saying that there will be a backlash for companies supporting LGBT equality. And actually, I think the reverse is the case. I think that companies that aren't supportive of equality now, well, they will be seen as being on the wrong side of history. And people are, you know, wondering what the problem is now. Well, people are looking at Australia now and they're thinking, well, you know, there's pressure growing and something's got to give. And we all know that it's going to go in one direction, but it's just a case of when, I think.
Indeed. Looking at individuals in the workplace, there are many people who are happy to come out to their friends and family, but draw the line at coming out at work. What's the best way to be out or come out at work?
Well, I think there's lots of different reasons that people aren't out at work. You know, fear of not having their career progress as quickly as possible. Some people are just very private and they would rather not discuss their private lives at work or bring their private lives to work. I think companies now see the value of people being able to be themselves at work and bringing their whole selves to work. So I think the best way to encourage people to come out of work, and I think that creates a more open workplace, which, you know, there's huge benefits in terms of innovation, engagement, productivity, etc. The best way to encourage people to do that is to have a culture that enables people to feel valued and where people know that equality is a real core value of an organisation. And again, there's lots of ways that companies can do that. Policies are one way, but as you mentioned earlier, implementation of those policies can sometimes lag behind. So making sure that you have visible role models and leaders, making sure that there's real top-level support for these initiatives as well. And that's the best way to sort of encourage people to be themselves at work and make them aware that there really is nothing to be scared of about coming out in the workplace.
That's Darren Cooper there from MyG Work talking about the best way to come out at work. And we've got a bit more coming up from Darren. They're based in the UK, hence the accent. Coming out at work. Are you guys out at work?
Yes, I am. I basically outed myself at work by writing an article on the Gay Games when they were in Sydney, which I attended.
Right. How was that received?
Well, I haven't had any feedback. I do have one work colleague that does make jokes about gays and homosexuals and lesbians, which I don't really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how. He also makes jokes about everyone else.
And Dean?
Yeah, I'm out at work. I've got a picture of my partner on my desk. You know, te amo, boo, if you're listening.
Do people come up and say, you know, how's Angel?
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm very out at work, so I don't have any problems there. But then again, it's different in different countries. I've got a friend in the States who has a lot of problems with someone proselytizing to him at work all the time and just will not stop doing it. So, and he finds that quite challenging. So they literally say things like, blessed be to the glory of Christ. I found a parking space today. It's constantly every conversation they have.
Under our laws here in Victoria will probably qualify in terms of discrimination, depending on how it was positioned and if they were doing it with intent there.
Well, he lives in New York, so you would think that things might be a little bit, I don't know, perhaps a little bit more secular in the godless north of the United States, but it's, you know, you do very much get that religious influence coming through.
I actually include in my resume some hints as to, you know, I include Joy here actually as a part of my resume. So
it's in mine
they know
too.
Up front. So if I'm ever going for a job and they feel that, you know, I'm not going to fit their culture, well, I think that's quite okay.
Same here. Yeah.
I certainly talk about Joy at work, but I was going to bring up that I read an article that someone was complaining that they'd been unfriended on Facebook, and I was just wondering, does that extend to blocking people on Grindr and Woof and Scruff? Would people object at work if you blocked them?
Now, that would be an interesting HR meeting.
Yeah, indeed. The issue, interested in Darren's comments there about public companies, well, the public and companies being ahead of politicians, but that companies sort of have to listen to the public because that's who
that's who's buying their goods.
That's their customers, yeah.
Therefore, if they think the public's moving in a certain way, they're going to actually go there before everybody else. What do you think about that?
I think that's understandable, really. If the public opinion is in favour of LGBT rights and accepting equality, then any sensible business and actually any sensible government would actually follow that.
Now, some of the... let's talk about Australian companies. So Pride in Diversity does put out the Australian Workplace Equality Index. So the number one LGBT-friendly workplace in Australia is PricewaterhouseCoopers. Congratulations, guys. Doing good work there. The top 10 is dominated by banking, financial-type businesses and education sector. So universities come up.
I'm interested to see that the National Bank NAB is there, because I have inside information that there are issues with the culture in that company.
Interesting, because they are actually very openly supportive of the LGBT community. In fact, they're sponsors of Midsummer here in Melbourne, and have seen their directors get up and you know, be a part of those launches.
Well, it's well known that homophobia, in fact, any sort of prejudice at all, is not good for business.
Mm. It's actually the second 10, the 10 to 20 group that interested me more. So there's a couple of computer type places in there, but there's the Australian Red Cross Blood Service comes in at number 13.
As long as you're not gay and trying to donate blood.
The Australian Federal Police are in there.
And the Department of Defence, and that one really shocked me, I have to say, based on their reputation in the media. They came in at number 17. And the other one there, Uniting Care Ageing in New South Wales and ACT. So this is a aged care delivery arm of the Uniting Church. And I thought, wow. That caught my attention. A bit surprising. Perhaps if you've got some thoughts on your employer, what makes them good or bad to work for as an LGBT person, give us a message on 0427JOY949. Out CEOs. Because there's more of them now. Like I'm thinking Tim Cook from Apple.
Alan Joyce
from Qantas. Would that make a difference in... you wanting, like, would you think because the company has an out gay CEO that they would be more progressive on LGBT issues?
Have to
be.
It would have to have an impact on corporate culture.
Definitely.
Would it make you want to go there more if you had an openly gay CEO?
I'd be more interested in whether they're actually a good CEO is rather than...
I thought you were going to say they'd be more interested if you got the free flights with Qantas. But you know.
I thought you were referring to sleeping your way to the top.
No.
And also what they look like with their shirts off, but, you know, that's just me.
Send us your thoughts. 0427JOY949. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
That was the Two Bears with Work on our Worldwide Wave work-related show.
And a few more messages coming in. Heath has said hello and loving the show. Message in from 659. I went to see Christopher Pyne, federal politician, and was pleasantly surprised to hear him reiterate the advantages of having gay staffers in politics. I fell off my chair, but I was happy beyond belief. Wow, does that one surprise you?
Yes.
And another one, fantastic. We also have Michael Abeed at SBS, who promotes gay-friendly everything, really, and he's been on Joy many times. The media has a lot of power to change our cultural norms. Thanks for those messages there. In the studio now, we have Anne Louise from Around the World in 80 Gays.
For the last time.
For the last time. What's going on? At the moment.
So you're finishing up tonight.
Yes, finishing up tonight. We're making a little bit of space for some fresh meat.
We
always like some fresh meat here and enjoy. So yeah, it's been a year. We've been on air a year, so yeah, and we feel it's time to step aside and let somebody else jump in, but it's not the end of us.
It's not the end. So you are sticking around here at Joy and doing some
other
shows.
Sticking around here at Joy and potentially a hiatus on our show, so we might be back. We shall see.
Fabulous. Yep. And yes. Where are you off to tonight?
We're going back to Ireland.
You should know a bit about that then.
Good Lord, I'm bringing it home.
Oh, that's a very lovely way to finish, I have to say.
It is, actually.
We have loved having you as our neighbour, and we wish you best, and we look forward to hearing you
Thank
around.
You very
Joy,
much.
Stick around the world in 80 days after 8 tonight.
We're going back to our conversation with Darren. When we were talking about LGBT workplace equality and diversity, the B and the T didn't seem to share the same profile as the gay and lesbians. So we asked Darren if he felt there was more that could be done for bisexuals and trans people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. These companies have a lot of resources, and they've allocated resources in this direction because they know the business case has now been proven for equality and diversity in the workplace. But that's another reason why my G-Work was set up, was to help smaller companies advertise their job vacancies to the LGBT community and also really just have a presence and a visibility within this space. The benefits for small companies of diversity and inclusion in the workplace are the same as large companies, but it's now much easier for companies to have visibility with the LGBT community because of websites like MyGWork.
Are you really mainly looking at Western countries? Are there cultural differences or cultural challenges that you're noticing in countries that you're working in?
We started in the UK, but being online, we have a reach globally. But there definitely is a difference in different countries about how sort of well advanced they are with equality. We've actually done quite a few interviews with people who, just so they can share their stories. So if there's anybody out there who would like to share their story about being out in the workplace, they should definitely get in touch with us at MyGWork. And I think those individual stories are quite interesting because there's lots of statistics about, you know, about harassment for LGBT people in the workplace, or they fear that their careers might not progress as fast if they come out. And actually having those... Yeah, I think definitely. I think there's a lot of biphobia and relate to an individual story, talked about, especially when you have data which sometimes B is ignored. And I think bisexual people are less likely to come out of work. They're more likely to be worried about their career suffering if they do come out. So I think there is a lot of work to be done in making sure that bisexual people's voices are heard and that they feel that they are supported in the workplace as well. I think with the Caitlyn Jenner story, the trans issue has really sort of taken off over the last year. And I think before that as well, Chas Bono helped to give some real visibility, which was lacking for trans people, I think. And so actually in the UK, we're seeing a lot of sort of trans initiatives by companies. So I think trans is getting quite a lot of well-deserved sort of attention at the moment by companies. But I think you're right, it's really not a level playing field. And companies need to be aware that LGBT, you know, is four different groups of people. Each one of those groups have their own issues and concerns, and they should really address each one individually rather than sort of, you know, grouping the whole lot together, because then, as you said, you know, individuals can feel that they're getting excluded, and the whole point of inclusion is that we include everybody and treat everybody's individual needs as important.
What would your advice be to businesses who are starting down the path of diversity and inclusion?
Well, I think there's a huge range of companies that can help and support companies and help them benchmark how well they're doing. I think they really need to look at their own policies, internal work policies, and see if they are inclusive and whether they include LGBT people or employees specifically. And then I think they really need to perhaps engage with their staff, try and start some employee resource groups. Obviously, this applies more to larger companies because starting an employee resource group, you need a certain amount of staff who are engaged with these initiatives to start with. But there are also lots of groups out there. In London, we have the Intertech group, the Interlaw group, and these groups are springing up all over the place. So even if you are working for yourself or you're working for a small business, there are lots of different networking events and networking groups out there for specific different industries. And going along to those and just really networking and sharing some knowledge and increasing your network of LGBT professionals who work within your industry or other industries is a great way of starting on the on this journey, really.
Now, you do also service Australia. What can Australians expect, or what do you provide to Australians who might be interested in your services?
Well, for individuals can register. You can import all of your data from LinkedIn, and then so you can have a profile on the website. Our website gets used by lots of recruiters and headhunters as well. And you can also network with other people, so you can find people in companies that you might be interested in working in, and you can send them a message and ask them what it's like to work in their company. And then there's also lots of job posts as well. So if you're looking for work or you're thinking about a career change, there's lots of job posts on the website as well.
Darren Cooper from MyGWork in the UK, thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thanks very much.
And we've also had our friends at Transposition, who are on from 9 o'clock tonight, dropped in to say that there's a local group that is working in the area of LGBT employment specialisation, if you like. Sensewide.com.au have a program called Working Out right here in Melbourne.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
More of this podcast soon. Coming up, we'll tell you how you can claim a free audiobook from Joy sponsor Audible. The volunteers of our program production team thank you for listening to our podcast service. Your support is everything to us.
And we would like to start by thanking Darren Cooper. They're from mygwork.com, which is a UK-based online business network, for his interview that you just listened to.
And you can find out more about them at mygwork.com. The messages have flowed thick and fast tonight on Facebook. We've had Keith, Angel, Kim, Kate, Yaz, and look, a heap more. W3Joy on Facebook, and the SMS messages, Heath 317659, and also the Transpositions team.
And of course, Gordon out there on the front desk. He's always there looking after us.
And stay tuned for Around the World in 80 Gays with Anne Louise, as we spoke about earlier tonight, talking about Ireland.
Off to Ireland.
Taking us out with some music. Couldn't play a workplace show without this. It's 9 to 5 from Dolly Parton. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.